Good morning. It's good to see you. Are you glad to be here?
Yes.
Are you sure? Are you glad to be here? Yes. All right. Well, it is great to be with you today. I'm certainly grateful for the opportunity to be here to worship with you. This is a rare, rare event. Maybe the first time in, I can't even remember when, David, we were able to come on a Sunday and worship with you at Mars Hill. Now, my kids have been here a couple times recently, so they get to come over here more than I do. I've been being over there at Opelo. It's harder for a preacher to get away and come and visit. So, I appreciate this invitation a great deal. And I know why David invites me. I know the theory behind that. That's okay. I'm just one of those secondary things that happens when he invites. He wants to see them. But, then I come with the package. So, but for whatever reason we're here, we're very grateful for that. And we do wish you the very best here at Mars Hill. And the work that you're doing here, and you have a beautiful place, and we just pray God would continue to bless you. This is a special weekend because I can't remember the last time we spent the whole weekend together, right? Yesterday we went up to Perigold to spend time with Angel and Todd and Sadie, and Sadie turns two today, right? Sadie's two today, is that right? Two today. And yesterday we went up as a family and enjoyed a birthday party. And somehow, some way, that girl is one of the most special people on earth. I don't know how, with Angel as her mama, right? I'm joking about that. Y'all need to laugh. Can y'all laugh with me a little bit? I'm not a very good joke teller, so. There you go. What a sweet girl Sadie is. We love her. She was the life of the party yesterday. So this is a special weekend. We get to spend a lot of time together. Send greetings to you from the Opelo congregation, and want to thank you for all the prayers and the love that you've shown on behalf of our congregation, and please continue to pray for us as we continue to try to grow and do God's will right there in Opelo, in that small community. You know, it's the first time a congregation of God's people has ever been in Opelo, as we understand it, and so we're very grateful for that opportunity, and God's blessing us. As of last Wednesday night, in the past 3 years, 32 souls have obeyed the gospel in Opelo, Arkansas. Is that all right? That's pretty good. We had two last Wednesday night that obeyed the gospel. So we're going to continue to try to grow, and please pray for us as we do. This morning and today, we are going to go into a series of sermons or lessons on the great invitations of the Bible. You know, when you think about the Bible from a standpoint of God speaking to man, it really does boggle our minds that our Heavenly Father, who transcends all, would want to have a relationship with such a sinful human race. You know, God desires to have a relationship with you, doesn't He? You know, when you think about invitations, all of us really kind of enjoy receiving invitations most of the time. You know, like this morning, I mean, I was very grateful about a month ago when David invited me and my family to come out and to worship with you and to share this series of lessons. That I felt honored by that. I was excited about the opportunity to come and be with you. We all really enjoy getting invitations usually. Now, I know as well as you do that every once in a while you get one of those invitations you may not be all that excited about, right? Well, you know, I'm thankful for that invitation, but I don't know if I want to go and be a part of that. I think about my daughter in the sixth grade, which is a very difficult age. You know, invitations become very meaningful at that time. You know when you're in if you get invited to certain things. And there's certain things I wish my daughter wouldn't get invited to, right? But there's something about it when you get invited, you just feel like you're a part. Even though you may not really want to go, there's just something about being invited. You know, invitations are special. And a lot of times invitations come with those four little letters down at the bottom. Y'all know what those are? Who can tell me what those are? RSVP. I was reading about this couple, and I'm not a good joke teller, so I'm going to try. But this is a joke. But it says this couple found asylum in this country during the Second World War. They were actually from Germany, or Central Europe. They came from Eastern or Central Europe, and they were not well-versed in American culture. And one day, they received an invitation to a wedding. And at the bottom of the invitation were those cryptic letters, RSVP. In his thick Eastern European accent, the husband said, "Wife, what does that mean?" So they thought for a while until it finally dawned on the husband, and the husband said, "Wife, I know what it means. Remembrance and vetting presence." Right? Vetting. Gosh, y'all listening to me? Laugh. It's okay. I told you I'm not a good joke teller. Remembrance and vetting presence. And so instead of hearing that as an invitation to come, they saw that more as a requirement to come, right? You know, when you think about the Bible, when you think about God, how excited are you and thankful are you that the Savior of the world desires to invite you to come to Him? I mean, that's so powerful. I mean, think about the Bible. Think about all of the invitations that exist in the Bible. He invites you to come. Those of you who are heavy laden, those of you who are burdened down, those of you who are tired, those of you who are weary, Jesus is inviting you to come to Him today. In Matthew 11 and verse 28, the Bible says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Think about that, how that invitation begins. It begins with that word, come. I'm reminded of Noah when he was preparing the ark, remember? And think about Noah. He was 480 years old when he was told it was going to rain. 480 years young, maybe. 480 years old when he was told it was going to rain. Did you know that it didn't rain for another 120 years after God told him that it was going to rain? Noah was 480 when he received the command to build the ark. Told it was going to rain. He was 600 when he actually went on to the ark. Have y'all ever heard of the book of Jasher? If you study your Bible really well, you know that the Bible contains a reference to the book of Jasher. And have you ever read it? Who's read the book of Jasher? That's your daily reading, right? I mean, you go home and read that. David says he's read it. I've read a little bit of it. But it's a history book. It's not inspired, but it's very interesting, and I got a copy of it one time, and I read a little bit. The very last thing that the book of Jasher mentions is the day the sun stood still. That's the very last thing that's in there. And Joshua is actually the book that contains the reference to the book of Jasher. Is not this recorded in the book of Jasher? Well, I got a hold of this book of Jasher, and I was reading it, and I was intrigued, really, because it has an account of the flood in it, Noah's flood. And actually, within that book, it talks about how Noah was, when they were on the boat, it talks about what was happening on the boat, right? It talks about the sounds of the animals and how the boat rocked and all of that. It's things you don't get from the Bible, but you get from this history book, right? But I want you to think about that invitation as God told Noah, it's going to rain, 480 years old when he gets that warning, 600 years old. But when Noah finally gets ready to go into the ark, you know what God says? God says to Noah, come into the ark. Now I want you to think about that word, come. Think about that for a second. God didn't say go into the ark, right? God said come into the ark. Now where does that imply God was the whole time? Where was he? God was in the ark. God was in the ark. God's presence was there. God could have a relationship with Noah inside the ark. Now please understand, I understand that God is everywhere. But understand that God's relationship with Noah was in that ark. And if Noah hadn't have gone into that ark, there wouldn't have been the same ending of that story as there was. Are you following what I'm saying? God's grace was in that ark. Come into the ark. Well, that word come is very important to us as Christians. When God invites us to come to Him, to come unto Him. Matthew 11, 28 again, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And him that cometh to me, I will in no way cast out. John 6, 37. There were personal invitations in the Bible. Do you remember the one to that wee little man by the name of Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a man of small stature, but he wanted to see Jesus. And remember, he climbed up in that sycamore tree because he wanted to see the Savior. And as the Savior passed the way, he looked up in the tree. Y'all remember this? Anybody remember this song? You remember this one? He looked up in the tree, and he looks at Zacchaeus, and he says, come down from the tree, because I'm going to visit your house today. That was a personal invitation to Zacchaeus, who was hated by the majority of society because he was a tax collector and a publican. But our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ invited Zacchaeus to come down from the tree so that he could visit his house. Oh, all of the publicans, and all of the Pharisees and those looking on when Jesus went to his house said, "This man eats with sinners." Boy, aren't you thankful? Curtis, I'm thankful, man. I'm telling you, I'm thankful that our Lord goes into the houses of sinners. What do you think? Man, I'm grateful for that. I'm so grateful that Jesus called Zacchaeus down from that tree so that he could visit his house. And then in Luke 19:10, the Bible says, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Personal invitations from the Bible. There are other invitations from the Lord. Remember in Revelation chapter 22, verse number 17, the Bible says, "The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.'" And I love the verse in the book of Revelation that says, Revelation 3, verse number 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open unto me, I will come unto him, and I will sup with him." Listen to me, church. God desires to have a relationship with you. And too many times, we're keeping our door closed to him. And you know what I find the longer I preach is that even members of the Lord's church grow cold to the invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And at certain times in our Christian lives, we start going through the motions, through the exterior, we put on a good show, but we've really forgotten that the invitation is for those who are weary and downtrodden and hurting and tired. And God desires to come into your home. He desires to come into your heart. He desires for you to come to him. Oh, invitations are special. Invitations are special. And there are certain invitations, my brothers and sisters, my friends in this life, that we would take a lot more special than others. You get an invitation from the King of the universe, from the Savior of the world to come. How many of you are going to turn that down? Stop this morning. I'm doing low-carb diet, by the way. It's not working. But I'm doing a low-carb diet. Why don't y'all laugh at that? Y'all didn't laugh at my vetting present joke, but you're going to laugh at my weight problem. I see. I'm joking. Any way you'll laugh is good. We stopped at 8 Mile Store because I love their bacon. Man, they've got good bacon there. You know, I thought, well, I could stop at Exxon in Perryville and pay way too much for something that's gross, or I could stop at 8 Mile Store and get some good bacon. So I stopped at 8 Mile Store and got some bacon. And when I got in the car, I told my children, I said, "Look at all of these people who are rejecting the invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ to come. They're going about their daily lives and not even realizing that Jesus is inviting them to come." I heard one girl behind the register say to her friend, she said, "Well, I'm really in a good mood today." And again, I don't want to question, she may be a faithful member of the body, just have to work today. I understand that. But I'm just making a general statement about the world. My friends, the world is rejecting the message of the Bible to come. Come unto Jesus. I'm excited today about this series of lessons about the great invitations of the Bible. And I want you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 1 as we look a little closer at one particular invitation for this morning's class. I want you to consider with me or think with me about the invitation to consider Jesus. You know, there's one thing, brothers and sisters, that I wish that I could get across to individuals today is, would you just consider Jesus Christ and his offer? You know, really, when Jesus came into the world, John chapter 1, verse number 1, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and his life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness did not understand it," did not comprehend it. You remember that passage, John 1, 1 through 5? That Jesus came into the world. He came into his own, but his own rejected him. His own, on a whole scale basis, the majority of them turned their back on him. They rejected him. In John 1 and verse number 18, the Bible says, "We beheld his glory. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. The one I was reading was John 1:14. Look at that one. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Here was Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, come down to earth, made flesh, made in the likeness of men. They beheld His glory. His glory was as the only begotten of the Father. The Son of God manifested the glory of God, John 1:18, on the earth. And what did the majority of mankind do? Rejected Him. They rejected Him. But there were a few. There were a few who answered the invitation to consider. In John 1 and verse number 35, the Bible says, again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as He walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard Him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto Him, "What do you seek?" They said unto Him, "Teacher," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where do you dwell?" He said unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where He dwelt and abode with Him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed Him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first finds his own brother Simon and said unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "You are Simon the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. Jesus invited them to consider Him. Come and see. I want you, for the remainder of our time this morning in this class, I want to invite you to consider Jesus. I want to invite you to consider Him. Number one, when you consider Him, consider the claims that were made by John the Baptist. Consider the claims that were made by the forerunner of Jesus Christ, the one who came to blaze the trail, the one who came to set the pathway for Jesus. Consider His claims. Jesus wants you to come and see. Jesus wants you to consider. So let's consider Him right now. Number one, John made the claim that Jesus is the Savior of sinners. In John 1:29, the Bible says again, "Behold the Lamb of God, which cometh and taketh away the sin of the world." John 1:29. Consider the claims that John made. John said, "This is the Savior of sinners." How many of you in here have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? How many of you in here need a Savior? That's why you're here, right? Because you know that Jesus is the Savior of sinners. And you know what? I don't care what Oprah Winfrey says or anybody on The View or anybody else on CNN or MSNBC or Fox or ABC or CBS or whatever it may be. I don't care what anybody says. Jesus is the only Savior for sinners. Y'all say amen to that. He's the only one that can take away the sin of the world. John looked at Jesus and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God," John 1:29, "which taketh away the sin of the world." John said, consider the claim that Jesus is the Savior of sinners. In Acts 4 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "There is no other name wherein lies salvation." There is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we what? Must be saved. There's no other name. There's no other person. There's no other way. Remember in John 14:6, Jesus said to His disciples when He was comforting them the night that He was betrayed, He was going to be taken away from them. He reminded them that there are many mansions in that place that He's going to prepare. Do you remember this? And He said, "I'm going to prepare this place, and if I go and prepare this place, I'm going to come again and I'm going to receive you." How many of you are looking forward to that? Where I'm going, hey, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be. One of them looked at Him and said, "Jesus, we don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way?" And Jesus said what? Y'all say this with me. Jesus said what? "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life." What does the rest of it say? "No man can come unto the Father except through me." my friends, Jesus. Consider the claim. Why did they hate him? Why did they persecute him? Why did they want him to die? Because he claimed to be the Son of God and the only way to God. And you know what? That claim was true. And it still is. If you want salvation, you better accept Jesus Christ's invitation to come unto him, because there's no other way. There's no other way to God except through Jesus Christ. Number two, consider the claim that he is the sacrifice for sin. I have two children, and I didn't become a preacher, David, till I had kids. I just thought I was. And I wasn't a good one. I'm still not a good preacher. I can't even tell a good vetting joke. I'm going to make y'all laugh at that before the day's over. I wasn't a preacher until I had kids. Now I know. Now I can preach. Amen. Yeah, isn't that right? I preach to them all the time now. I got a call the other day, Curtis. I got a call the other day from a lady, a member of the church. Her daughter had been involved in some things that, you know, shouldn't be involved in. Right after I got off the phone, I went and tore into her. And she hadn't done anything. She was laying on her bed. I went in there. You ever do that? What'd I do? I don't know. I don't know what you did. You didn't do anything today, but you're going to do it tomorrow. I guarantee you're going to do it tomorrow. Man, I was getting after her. But that was just a side point. I'm going to do that again if that ever happens. Get ready. I told her, I said, just get ready to hear that 183,585 more times before you get to be a senior in high school, because I will never stop to remind you that you're my daughter and you're going to live the way God wants you to live. Over, if anything I can do about it, anything I have in my control to do it, we parents got to stand up today against the sin in this world, right? And that starts with me. That starts right here with me. But I didn't become a parent. I didn't become a preacher until I became a parent. But now I understand. In Romans chapter 5, verse number 6, the Bible says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. And perhaps for a good man some might even dare to die. But God showed his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Do you know what Jesus did for you? Do you know what God did for you? God took his Son and sacrificed him for you. My son's not in here. He's in class. But I understand now, Mike, what that means. It's rare for someone to die for a good man. Possibly somebody might die for a good man. Maybe. Maybe for a righteous man someone might give their life. Maybe, just possibly, there might be one out there that some man might give his child or give his life to be sacrificed for them. But let me tell you something about what Jesus did. While we were sinners, he died for us. Oh, that takes on a whole new meaning now that I've got a son or a daughter. Who is it that you would allow your son or your daughter to die for? The only thing that I can even come close to likening it to in this life are military families. And I admire every single military family that's here today and that's out there today wondering where their son or their daughter is, or having to grieve the loss of their son or their daughter. But that's as close as I can get, I believe, to understanding the sacrifice of Jesus, because he came and he died for people that don't deserve it, including me. How many sins have you committed just this past week? Do we deserve it? Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. His shoes, I'm not even worthy to get down and untie. Do we take it that serious? And as a preacher, sometimes I look at the church, I look at myself, because it starts right here, and I go, I don't think, what you... You have to be kidding me. David, we need to consider possibly extending this. And you're like, no. 5 minutes. That's good. David told me, he said, hey, might not be that long. I should have been ready. You can't help but get excited about the Bible. Do y'all get excited about it? He's the sacrifice for it. Consider the claims. And I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to finish. Consider the call. In John chapter 1, again, look back with me. In John 1:38, the Bible says, then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, what are you seeking? They said unto him, Rabbi, where do you dwell? And he said unto them, come and see. Consider the call. Number one, consider the interest of the disciples. Jesus, where do you live? Where do you live? Consider the interest. How much interest do you have in the Savior of the world right now? Are you interested in Him? Where do you live, Jesus? Consider the investigation of the disciples. Jesus turned around and looked at them and said, he knows their hearts. He knows what's going in their mind. What are you seeking? They're investigating Him. Jesus wants them to consider Him. They're interested in Him. They're investigating Him. They're looking into Him. And then Jesus makes an invitation to them. Come and see. Come and see. It's the same invitation I've given people. Hey, you wonder what the Lord's church is all about over there in Apollo or in Mars Hill? Just come and see. Are you interested enough to investigate what's going on over there? Come and see. Come and see. And you know what? When you come and see, we're going to tell you all about His claims, that He's the Savior of sinners, that He's the Lamb of God, the sacrifice for sin. Then I'm going to quit with this. Consider the change. Did you consider the claim? Consider the call. Consider the change. What kind of change does Jesus bring about? Look at this. In verse number 39, it said, He said unto them, come and see. They came and saw where He dwelt, and they abode with Him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. My friends, when people truly come to Jesus because they're interested in Him and they investigate Him and they know He's the Savior of sinners and they know that He's the sacrifice for sins and they know that He's the one that loved them before they even loved Him back, they want to stay. They want to stay. You know what I find, David, in the Lord's church now? We just all kind of want to go. Let's just go. But true disciples don't want to go. They want to stay. Consider the change that Jesus makes when they wanted to just stay with Him. Today, consider with me for the next two lessons. The great invitations of Jesus Christ. Just number one, the invitation to consider. Consider Jesus. I appreciate you. It's good to see you all.